very thankful to meet with the church brethren here at Southampton.
That's correct.
Right. Had looked forward to this and have heard great things about the church group here at Southampton. And just thankful to meet some of you I've met before and some not before, but you know, in the Lord's kingdom, there are no strangers. If you've been introduced to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I've been introduced, and that makes us walk in fellowship, and Jesus truly is all fellowship. Amen?
Amen.
Sure have enjoyed what I've heard by way of the song service, and I have, and I appreciate the public prayer that has gone before, and have a need that you continue to be in prayer for us, that we might be able to preach the gospel, as would be honoring and glorifying unto the Lord's name, and would even edify His people here. Appreciate you for having me here this time. It's been a wonderful series of meetings we've been, thank God, and Brother Chuck and different ones, but especially him, because his hospitality has been memorable. Pick us up at the airport and just and stay with he and his family. Just been a sweet, warm fellowship and kindred spirit, and they housed me and treating everybody so nice on every which way. Till I just want to express, let you know that I'm not telling you anything you probably don't know, because he's amongst you and you know him. But so glad to see you. Some thoughts that would be on my mind, you pray that the Lord would be my helper, that I be led of the Spirit of the Lord. It's written in the book of Genesis. And before I read, I'm so thankful to see the number of young ones out here. You know, that's the church today and tomorrow. That represents the continuity. And it's so encouraging. We're thankful for everyone, the older ones and the younger ones, but the younger ones normally have more service life remaining. And sometimes it's been misunderstood, and somebody says, well, why are these, you know, get the children of this, that, and the other. But Jesus said, his disciples was telling him to take them back. He said, and he was very much displeased. He said, let the children come unto me. And he's taking them up in his arm, and he blessed them. I think that's the attitude we ought to have. And I can see that that's the attitude here at this church, and it's a blessing. Really, we serve the Lord's people anywhere, in any circumstances, but you do like to hear, like to look out and see and hear the presence of the children. I love that. And yes, if they'll make a whimper or whatever, I can't sit still that long. And I've been practicing it in the church for a lot of years, but I can't just sit still. And so they'll move a bit or whatever, but that's all right. And you know how to deal with that if need be, and encourage them. But we bring them to the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And let that joyful sound of the child present be heard.
Amen.
Yes, amen. But I wonder if the Lord will be my helper. It's in the book of Genesis. And began reading at maybe the 5th chapter. And maybe I'd like to begin at the 20th verse. And I may read 5 verses, and I may read some of the rest of it later, but I'd like right now to read it at verse 20. Genesis 5, verse 20. And all the days of Jared were 962 years. And he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God. After he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Pray that the Lord will bless the reading of his word. And some words I hope to leave with you. Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. In other words, that walking is literal walking, but it's a lifestyle. He lived close to the Lord, and God took him. Elsewhere it tells us in the scripture that he was translated. He did not see death. That's what it means. Now, it is appointed unto us to die. But that's the normal pattern of exit from here. But remember now, we're talking about God. So there are no boundaries on God. He can do it any way, however, whenever he pleases. You see. There's a pattern. God just doesn't do anything. There is a pattern of, and you can find God's pattern here. But when you can't say God can't do it or he won't do this. Unless the scripture explicitly says he won't. And we need to be really walking soft when we say that. We need to be standing waist up to our neck in scripture when we say what God won't do. You need to be thus says the Lord. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. For God took him. Enoch was the, if you go back into the genealogy, Enoch was the seventh from Adam. There was more than one Enoch in the Bible. You know, there's about three I can think of right off. But, and there was a godly Enoch and there was an ungodly Enoch. But this one, it tells us, let me turn just a minute if I may. In the book of Jude, I believe, it tells us Enoch. Jude, I'll read there. And I'll come back. I want to read in Genesis 5 again. But in the book of Jude, the 14th verse, Jude is that little short book. It's so sweet and it's so powerful. I love to preach from the book of Jude when I have the spirit, but it's just endless. It's just rich and full. But in this Jude verse 14, and it says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. See, he's the seventh in the generation from Adam. If you go back and count the genealogy up, you'll find that he's the seventh generation. See? The Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment. So he's the seventh. That's what I want to get to. Now, I want to go right back and read a little bit in the book of Genesis here, where we were reading at. Chapter 5. And I'm going to read some verses here, beginning at verse 3. It says, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. Adam had corrupted by this time. He was not any more perfect and upright as God had made him. He was made perfect and upright, but capable of falling and sinning. So when he begat a son, this was after the fall, and that son was made in Adam's image now. Not in the image of God. See, Adam was made in the image of God. But Adam's son was made in the image of Adam. Capable, not just capable of sinning, he had fallen this time, see. So this son was born a sinner. That's why we all from Adam on down are sinners. Amen. We come out from Adam. See, Adam was made. Now remember, God can do it any kind of way. Isn't that right? Amen. And in the Lord's house, it's okay to say amen. Isn't that good? It's throughout the Bible. And to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all your lands, come before His presence with singing and with thanksgiving. And I appreciate the public prayer and the song. My mind is going. I was trying to listen to the song and I was singing. And you see, that song and singing is praising God. But it's got to be making a joyful noise out of your heart unto the Lord. That's why it doesn't matter about one to say, well, I can't sing yet. The Lord knows what voice you have. Sing with what He gave you. And you're singing unto the Lord. So it'll be acceptable. If we'll just use what we got. If we use what we got, it's alright. Isn't that right? So the divorce, and so, but it's a joyful time to be able to go into the house of the Lord. And we sing and pray, and I appreciate that. But back to the scripture, Adam's son was made in his own likeness, that is in Adam's likeness, after Adam's image. And he called his name Seth. Verse 4, and the days of Adam after he begat Seth were 800 years. And he begat sons and daughters. Don't list all the rest of it because the book can't write everything. I mean, you know, it'd be too big a book if everything was written. That's what the scripture. So it tells us the pertinent. It tells us what we need to know.
Amen.
To arrive at the right understanding. You see, God can. Enoch was translated out of the world alive by the power of God. Did not see death. Normally we see death. That's the normal way. You see, but God can do it anyway. And once we, to serve the Lord, we have to be elevated up to that place that we can realize we're not talking about God is not like us. He's so higher and His ways are so much in excess of ours. So you can't just reduce Him down to human. We have to pray that He will raise us up spiritually that we may understand the things that are written by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost and worship Him therein. You see, for example, God can do anything, but He doesn't just do anything now. You see how Adam was made like, you know, he didn't come about like the rest of us. You see, somebody says that God can do anything. I mean, He can't lie and He can't deny Himself, obviously. Don't ask no foolish questions, you know. Because somebody would say, can God make a rock so big He can't pick it up? Don't even entertain such. So He can do anything. He can make a rock so big He can't pick it up, huh? Don't entertain it. And I won't entertain it. But I'm saying He's going to be God at all times. He's all powerful, all knowing, all sovereign, everywhere present and nowhere absent, all at the same time. He never learned anything new because He never forgot anything. So you say, well, Lord, in your prayer sometimes, Lord, remember you promised. You don't have to remind the Lord what He promised. He never forgot anything. We say that. I say it too. But I'm just reminding myself. God hadn't forgot anything. So we say that earthly to earthlings. You see, we're trapped in an earth suit yet. We've not yet been given that suit. This earth suit has not been changed in the quickening of an eye. We're to be fit for eternity, living in glory. So we do these earthly things, but we want to keep in mind these are earthly limits. We don't want to just say, well, that's what God can't do. You see how He made Adam? Adam were never a child like we were. He just made it out of the dust of the earth. He didn't have to say, try. Adam never, no evidence that Adam sucked on his mother's breast. No. God made it. Adam never wore diapers and had to be potty trained and all the rest that we go through. So God can do it anyway, right? If He want to call us just translate a child of His, like Enoch from earth to heaven, He can do it. He can go walking with God one day and just walk in the glory. That's what I call it. I done got to the stage in my life now. I'm not old, but I'm getting a little older than I used to be, you know. And so that I have learned that a little walking is good for me, health-wise and otherwise. And so, you understand what I mean? And I like to pray that I can take a walk. I hope I'm walking with God. Thinking on the things of a literal walk. Who will walk in the park? Can you imagine? Enoch went for a walk. And he walked. And the Bible says it. And Enoch walked with God. And Enoch walked with God. I don't think he just went for a walk, but that was his lifestyle. And one day he went walking with God and walked right on in glory. Didn't come back. I don't understand all that, but I believe it. Because the Bible says it. But look at this now. So Adam was different and not, but he made a son. He got a son. God bless him. Seth, in Hebrews, of seven stars, you see. But my point is in verse 5. He says, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. That's where the sentence ends. And he died. That's normally in epitaphy. And it says, and Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. This is not the Enoch we're talking about now. You read him out, you find out that there was a corruption in him. And it goes on down there that would be the second generation. Now, Enos here would be the third generation. It says, and all the, verse 8, all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. You see? And Enoch lived 90 years and begat Cana. And verse number 11 says, and all the days of Enos was 905 years, and he died. The conclusion is the same. And he died. That's the fourth generation right there. Verse number 12 says, and Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahaliel. And verse number, I'm skipping here. Verse number 14 says, and all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. Do you get the point? And he died. And he died. And he died. And Jared, Mahaliel lived 65 years and begat Jared. In verse number 17, and all of the days of Mahaliel were 895 years, and he died. And he died. There's no "and he died" keep coming up. That's the last thing of each one of them. And he died. And he died. Look at verse number 19. And Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch. That's the seventh one. If you count all those up, that's seven from Adam. That's why over here in the book of Jude, it says he's the seventh from Adam, the seventh generation. Because there were other Enos that it was an ungodly stream, see? But look here. Verse number 20 said, all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And he died. I want you to know that Enos walked with God, and he was not. There's a break in the sequence. Look at verse 22. Verse 23. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 365 years and begat sons and daughters. So Enoch, he begat Methuselah. He had at least five children. And he begat, after he begat Methuselah, he begat sons, at least, that's at least two. Two boys and daughters. I don't know how many there were, but there were at least two. They could have been five, but I don't know. It could have been five, it could have been 50. They lived, when you live 900 years and being acted the way they were, I don't even think about putting a cap on. Somebody wonder how all these people got poverty. It's pretty simple. God said it, that's settled. So, well, I don't say it. What did Cain get his wife from? Don't ask me those stupid questions. You know? He went in that land and he found a wife there because the Bible says so. So, well, who was over there? I get all kinds of questions. All of these people, every one of them said, and to get sons and daughters. I mean, I don't know how many children they were having then. You know? Right here I see Methuselah having five, and he lived 969 years. That's a lot of time of productivity. Procreation or whatever you want to call it. Thank God for it. But I want you to see, and Enoch walked with God, and he begat sons and daughters. And then the 23 again, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Semicolon. All these other six previous generations, after that statement of all the number of years they were, the semicolon, and he died. Oh, and he died, didn't get here. After the semicolon for Enoch 365 years, and Enoch walked with God. I think he was walking with God those 365 years, basically. He lived 365 years, semicolon, and Enoch walked with God. He didn't just walk one time with God, or one season. His life was that. He walked with God. And Enoch, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years, semicolon. All the others had a semicolon too when it gives how many years. And it says, and he died. But here, It says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I like that. God can do it any way he wants to. Amen?
Amen.
God wanted him to walk with him, and he was took him. And elsewhere it tells us that he was translated. And it's good to start walking with God. I like seeing all these children here. Start walking with God early. We don't have to wait until we're 300 years old to start walking with him. You see? We don't have to wait until we have offspring to start walking with him. You say, well, we won't get 300. I don't know when we're 300. Well, I mean, we don't have to wait. I would read this to the children. This is on my mind right now. And I hope I'm not, I don't want to confuse you, but I just thank the Lord for all of these children I see. And I want to read something, and I want you to know that Enoch walked with God all the days of his life. That's what it means. But I want to read a verse here. It's in my mind right now, and I trust I'm not chasing a rabbit, but I'm chasing the following spirit. Well, I have learned I do better by following God's spirit. And it's that Solomon, the wisest man other than the Lord, would write in the Ecclesiastes verse 12, remember now, N-O-W, a small word, thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in him. I want all of us, and the young ones especially, and the parents, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while or before the evil days come, when you're drawn back and say, I have no pleasure in it. Remember thy creator now. I'm going to leave this out just for a minute. Remember thy creator now, all the days in thy youth. I believe he either remember the Lord in his youth. He said he lived 365 years and he walked with God. It didn't parse it up. He gave the time when the first one Methuselah was born, but it didn't say after the childbirth, after Methuselah was born. It said he walked with God 365 days. Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. And he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God. I think he started walking with God in his early years. That's what that tells me. Enoch walked with God. And I'm so glad that you walked with children in here this afternoon, that they may rightly see how to walk with God. Being children of God, you see, that they can see and know that it's all right to walk with God early while there's yet youth in our life, while we're strong and vigorous and have vitality, and we can even run sometimes. And if we run, it's okay. You cannot run God, but you're going to run to God. You see, oh, I need to read verse 40 in the book of Isaiah. Let me read that just for a moment here. I don't have anything of myself, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. And it's by the grace and the power of the Lord that we are blessed to be here. And I want you to get this now. If I don't say anything else, in the 40th book of Isaiah, in the 29th verse, he that giveth power to be faint and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Sometimes when we are older and we've lost all of our strength, that he might give us power that might increase our strength. And look what verse 30 says. Even the youth shall, the young ones, that's what it means, they shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Sometimes that's the young ones. They're running and they won't be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Walk with God while we're in. And when we get old and all of our strength is gone, continue walking. He'll renew our strength. He has, our heads are blossoming, and he'll carry us to the mountaintops. We have wisdom then. Walk with God in our early days, and let us continue on, and let us not stop. It says, and Enoch walked with God. That's the last thing about him. I believe he was walking with God, and it never showed that he stopped. And I said, and he not me, he's with God now. He just walked through all the troubles. And he had troubles. Oh, he had trials. And if you look here, God doesn't work like man does. If I read all these genealogies, all of these brothers, Adam, 930 years. His son, Seth, 912 years. Enos, the one that is betrayal to see, 905 years. Canaan, 910 years. Mahalia, 895. And Jared, 962 years. And here comes Enos walking with God. And he only got 365 years. But that's all right, because he walked right in the glory with God. Now, anybody would say, well, if God's going to take anybody in the glory and don't let them, well, they don't have to make funeral arrangements. A dear precious brother, friend of ours, you may have heard him, Ella James Pruitt, we just married, just, and we, before that, you know, buried one of our precious deacons in the church. And you know, and we had to go and make a funeral arrangement of a dear precious brother. You know, you got to go and, you know, and when he passes, you gotta make the arrangements, you know? And you give it to the family. Well, Enos didn't need any funeral arrangements. He don't need to go through that. He just translated from earth to glory without any funeral. No funeral director, no arrangement. Enos done made the arrangements in the power of God. God, Jesus done finished it, and he said, come on home, son. You don't have to go back and see corruption. And that, wouldn't that be good? Can you imagine living his life and going to glory without making funeral arrangements?
Amen.
I've been to funeral homes so many times to make arrangements with the brothers and sisters. And we do that because it's necessary. But what would it be like to have a brother just translate it? Don't need a funeral arrangement. That'll be the last thing. Say, well, how about the memorial service? You got it every day then. Remember how grandfather walked with God and he was. He even had grandchildren, you see, and great-grandchildren. And they could remember, and we come on down through the line. We can say how easy it was for Enoch. When you walk with God, you'll stay with Him. If you start with Him, you won't depart.
Amen.
Train them up in the way they should go when they're young, and when they're older, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to continue to walk with God. Though they may one day, for a moment, turn away from God, they'll never forget the upbringing. They'll turn back to it. That's what I think that means. It don't mean they won't ever stray from it, but they won't stay from it. Enoch walked with God. Man would have got one of them other brothers if he was going to just say, there'd be one that's not going to see that. How about all of these ones that live 900 years, 930, 912, 960 years? It would have been one of them. But when you're walking close enough with God, you see, you can do a lot of walking in a short time. Jesus, he lived about 33 and a half years, you see. There's not a greater example of a walk with God than Jesus Christ Himself. You'll not find one that walked closer, greater, more completely with God in every sense of the word than Jesus. And about 33 and a half years, you know. Done walk to the end of the rope. Done hold it out and done redeem all of them of the elect family. Can you say, it is finished. Father, I thirst now. I'm ready to come home. See? Said all that before he literally died. Death was part of it, but the victory's already claimed. I done redeemed him. I done saved him. On the tree. It was accomplished on the tree. I done walked with God all the way. Obedience. He was obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Are we obedient? Walking with God is being obedient with him, you know? See? You can't walk with God being disobedient. You can't walk with God any kind of way. Yeah, you know, it's pretty simple. And I hope the children do understand what we're talking about, and everyone else. When you what does it mean when you're walking with God? What's he talking about? Well, you know, that's pretty easy. I mean, that's a simple concept. Walking, you know. Well, what does it mean when you walk? It means you're going right along in communion with God. You're not saying I'm doing it my way. You're doing it the Lord's way. Now, when you walk with God, you can't lead God. You see? You can't lead Him anywhere. Yeah, He's already everywhere. So, you can't bend Him and change Him. He's an unchangeable God. So, when you walk with God, let me read the book of Amos. It's talking on my mind here. Amos chapter 3. When we walk with God, let's see what Amos says about this. Amos chapter 3 and verse 6. Can two walk together except they be agreed. The answer is obviously no. You see? And he asks many questions. You can't walk with God disagreeing with him. You know, I don't believe that. Is that what God... No, you can't walk with God. And this is the written word here. We have the word made flesh. Now we got the written word. It's the same. You can't walk with God disagreeing with... And you want to know, what does he say? How does he walk? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can see his footprints all over there. You can see his footprints in Genesis. You can see his footprints in Exodus. You can see him down there in the... When they said that the three Hebrew boys, they weren't going to bow down. They said, oh king, we found three that don't want to bow. They want to walk with God. A God they can't see. And everybody else on the side, well, you know, I mean the children of God, well, we'll go ahead and bow because, you know, the king's got that furnace heated. So, and you know, God understands we can't walk with him now. We're just going to have to leave the Lord because he said don't have no other God before him. And he said he was a jealous God. But God understands, you know. That's what the rest of them said. You know, this is, the Bible don't just say it like that, but that's what it means. You know, well, we can't do that. We can't do what God said. Walking with God means agreeing with him and doing what he said. You can't walk with God disagreeing with him. So they just would just quietly succumb. Sometimes the pressure's on us, and you say, well, will you stand for God? I will until the pressure comes, you know. That's when I'll stop walking, but God understands. That's what we say. No, God expects us to walk with him because he's our strength. He will uphold us. But three of them down there, everybody else done bowing. They says, no, we're not going to. King, just heat your furnace hard as you need to. We're not careful how we answer in this matter because the God that we serve, our God, is an able God. And he can deliver us. That's not in question. We believe he will, but if not, if he's not going to deliver us from you, we still not going to bow. He will deliver us and he will translate us, bring us out of this land of sorrow, and we leave you, we're going to obey the Lord. So you just do what you need to do, King, because we're going to walk with God.
Amen.
I'm trying to show you that he'll be with you. He's in every book in the Bible. And when they put him in the fire furnace, you know the story. Though King, he couldn't sleep that night. See, God works on both ends all that same time. He works on the other part. You don't have to worry about payback. Because he says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And then he took the king to sleep and he got up early that morning. You know the story. I met the children here and heard the story about Daniel in the lion's den and about the Hebrew boys in the fire furnace. There was three of them put in and the king had got up that morning early. He was troubled. His sleep was taken from him. And he went down to the furnace and looked in there. I imagine he got close enough that he could look, you know. The Bible said he'd look in. And he said, look, behold. He was amazed. Did not we cast in three? Behold, I see four. And the fourth one goes by the Son of God. Oh, that's amazing, isn't it? He's right there with him in Genesis. If you'll walk with him, he'll be there. If you will agree and follow God's command. And when it's time of trouble, he'll manifest himself. He literally was pre-incarnate, I believe. I see him in the book of Joshua. You know what I'm trying to get. So thank you, brother. The city is great, and how are we going to take the city? And Baal appeared in the plains of Joshua. And Joshua's son with his, and he said, are thou on our side or for us against us? Who art thou? Joshua, the man of God. If you walk with him, he'll be with you. But you got to agree with it. He said, I'm the captain of the host of the army of the Lord. I got the battle plan. How are you going to take the city? Joshua did like all other children of God. When God reveals himself, he hit the ground. Lord, I didn't know it was you. I believe he's pretty incarnate, my brother. We're talking about God now. We're not talking about man. I didn't know it was you. What would you have me do? He told me. Gave me the battle plan. Joshua, the Lord told me, he's going to take the city. How am I going to get the city? This is a walled up city. Miles and miles, and the wall around that city was so thick. They said people had built their houses on the wall. And I got a kickback army here going, group of people they haven't even fought a battle. They don't know anything about fighting. All they were slaves down there making brick for the king. How are they going to take this walled city? They don't have not one bullet, not one gun. You don't need it when you walk with God. Give you the battle plan. And it's a simple thing. Isn't that right? Say
amen. Amen.
It's not something going to make a rocket ship that goes up. And that you, we don't have the stuff to make a rocket ship. Just use what you got, sugar. That'll do. So you use them pictures you got in those cameras. And you just walk around the city of Jericho for 7 days. You go there and walk around once. Is that complicated?
Nope.
Go there and walk with God around the walls for the first day. Do that for 6 days in a row. And on the seventh day, go back and do the same thing. Walk with God around the walls and see if they don't come from and down. But you got to do it God's way. And God isn't going to give you all of it because you can't handle it.
Amen.
You might say, why did he give them seven? You know, and I'll tell you what he told them. Walk with God, my beloved. He told Joshua, said, now when he gave the battle plan, it was a simple plan. And he had a bunch of weaklings. You know, these were not skilled people that were trained in military. They had no weaponry. But that's all right. If you walk with God, you got all you need. He said, now, Joshua, when you tell him, I feel like reading it, but you can read it when you get home. It's in the book of Joshua, I think about the seventh chapter. He said, now, tell them, and that's about the church too. We're not a people of war. God's people have never been offensive war people. You see? He says, go around the city, round the wall, one time the first day. Go back the second day. One time. Do that for 6 days. And on the seventh day, go around it six times, then on the seventh time, blow the trumpet, shout. You see? And now, but he said, now you tell them, you know, when they're walking, do not talk. Don't be speaking. Be walk in silence. Don't say a word. I imagine that, I can imagine somebody, he would have told them, don't talk, just be quiet. Sometimes you got to be quiet when you're walking with God, that you might hear from God. You got to be quiet to follow a still small voice that God will speak down inside of you, that it may come out of you, and it may be a larger thing that will come from the largest enemy you will encounter. But you need to be quiet sometimes and listen to God.
Amen.
The psalmist said, be still and know that I'm God. See, a lot of clamoring and clacking and racket, you won't even know who he is. But you got to be still that you might hear from God. And I think he might have told us to be quiet, because sometimes in the church, brethren, we know how it is when we're trying to leave the church and where we ought to go. And I can imagine about the third, second, or third day, that the first day they probably would be okay. Oh, this is fun. We don't have, if they'd have been talking, but he told them don't talk. After about the second or third day, if they'd have been allowed to talk, I can imagine someone saying, this don't make no sense. What the hell is still saying? This is the third time we walked around it. What's wrong, Joshua? This is no bad plan. The wall is falling. Why are we out here in the sun walking? Why are we doing this? I can imagine grumblings would occur. So God told Joshua, tell them, keep silent. Don't talk. When you walk with God, you have to be quiet sometimes. You understand? Because God will talk to you. And you know how, and on the seventh day, you know what happened. And when God said charge, now, see, God isn't complicated. Very direct. You know what walk around the wall means. You walk. He didn't say go and build nothing to penetrate the wall or go and get some kind of heavy artillery that you can't have, that you don't have time to design, don't have the wherewithal. No battering rams, nothing like that. Just simply walk, my beloved. How complicated walk is. Pick them up and put them down. When you see my footsteps, find my footsteps, walk therein and you will find rest under your soul. That sounds too good to be true, isn't it? It's just that simple. Simply walk with God. Simply walk with God. I wish I could impress on you, walk with God. Enoch walked with God and he was not. He walked right past the funeral director, didn't need it. He's standing out there with his fancy suit on, green folks, and he don't bury, He didn't even, walk right past direct to glory. Don't need no plot down there in the cemetery. You see? Now that's not the normal way, but God can do it anyway. You see? In that day, the folks, when the house of Israel, as they walked around that wall, you just got to simply trust God, believe God, probably because God said it. When God says it, it's not like man says it. When God says something, it's come to pass. He never tries to make things happen.
Amen.
God said it, and that settled it. He says in the 33rd Psalm, by the breath of his mouth were the heavens and the earth made. God said it, and he said, let us make man in our image. Boom. And he made him out of the dust of the earth, and he was made. And he didn't have to. You see, God never tried anything. And when Adam was made, you know, God didn't have to say, well, now let me see if we, you know, when they make a new airplane or a new automobile, they always make a prototype. You know? they're trying something out, you know? If there was a $10 billion airplane and it's only a prototype. And they said, well, they won't, you know, they would try to maneuver buildings. They do that, you know? I used to work for the airline for the company to build airplanes. You know, they make a prototype. They always do that. I mean, you know, before they put into full production. But they're trying something out. And they take it back and they make modifications to it. But God isn't like that. I want to read this to you so you understand how the earth was made. Verse 6 says in Psalm 33, and I read this a lot because it blessed my soul so. He says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. By the word, you see, by God's word. And all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. That means God said it and it happened. He said, let there be light. Boom, there was light. Before that, it was all darkness. You see? God said it and it happened. When he come down to the sixth day, he said, let us make man in our image. And he made it out of dust and earth. He just made it. And I don't think he's got some elements and mixed up in a mixing bowl and said, let's put him in the oven and cook him for a little while and see if he come out right. I think God said, let us make man, and boom, he was made. He didn't. And you know what? This is how grand our God is. Now, truly, don't wonder what's going to be going on in heaven when you're going to be in the presence of a God that is this grand. I read maybe about 7 billion, I believe, people is estimated to have been on the earth, you know, since the beginning of time, or whatever the number. There's been a lot of people. And you know, all of us, each one, this is how grand God is. You know, they can be twins, they'll have different fingerprints. Each one of us got an individual assigned fingerprint from God. No two persons. Even man's knowledge have concluded that. No, there's no two of them have the same fingerprint. They may be very close in the same family. They may be twins. They may be very similar. But they got their unique fingerprint from God. He makes us individually in his own image. You see? And yet, we're made so alike. You know, if you take man, the physical body, and analyze it, lay it down to what's made up of water and oxygen, carbon, and whatever else it is. I think about 92% of the human body is water. Something 92, what were the scientists or chemists, you know, doctors. But there's a high degree of our body is just water, H2O. And then some other inner elements. If you know, and every person has the same ratio. Whatever that percentage is, a little bit of nitrogen, a little bit of carbon or oxygen or iron or whatever we have in us, all people got the same, by the same formula. And God didn't have to run no trial and make sure that this is the right composition that's necessary for them to grow up and mature and learn how to run and walk. Now we don't come here walking, you see. You have to learn how to walk. But outside of abnormal in the birth and so forth, people come here and they can learn how to walk. They all made it just alike, got the same amount of H2O, carbon and nitrogen, and we learn how to walk. You see, God is that a gracious, wonderful God. He makes all of these billions of people, and they're all made exactly by the same formula, and they all got an individual hair, individual fingerprint, and then this God knows all about us so detailed. He knows how many hairs I have on my head. You said, you didn't know I had hair. There's a little bit up there. And I used to have a big humongous afro, so I didn't have. It's so big I had to kind of stretch the door to get in there almost. It was, I didn't have. So, well, you don't have that, but there's more hair than you realize. You try to count the hairs on the back of one joint of your finger. You can't do it. God is so grand. And so, Lord, he knows how many hairs all over each one of us. Just like he knows your fingerprint, he gives you that. Somebody's brother said, well, he sure have said he combed the mother's hair and the little kids, and the comb had a lot of hair on it. And he said, well, one of my members said, God told him, said, well, I mean, he said, well, mother, he was a little kid. Said, can, if God says God knows how many hairs, this is Sister Sally, one of our precious members at Nance Creek Church in Atlanta, and her oldest son, who was a, this was when he was just a child, you know, he was, he loved to comb his mother's hair, and his comb was full of hair, you know, that hair come out. Says, does God, can God, since God can count the little hair, can God subtract? So there's a lot of your hair on that comb. Yes, God can subtract. He know how many you had, he know how many you have, and he know how many you will have, even when you make a final walk with him. Ain't God good? Say amen.
Amen.
He said, I want you, you won't get bored in heaven. When Enoch was translated to heaven, he never got bored. He won't get bored. God is just that grand. We only see in part down here. It'll be a new, unending opportunity of praise and glory. You can look at a beautiful sunset and everyone's different. Look at a snowflake. Everyone's different. There are billions of each year. You see? So this is the God that Enoch walked with. And when you walk with God, you just find where he's at and keep up. Find his footprint and you won't be bored walking with God. And you know, the kids don't like to get bored. You get bored with little stuff. Ease yourself sometimes. You know, walking with God, he have thy mercies are new every morning. That's what Jeremiah said. You can see his mercy. And if you think we're getting bored sometimes, you can turn over there. I like to read this in the 103rd Psalm. He says, forget not all his benefits. When you go to thinking about it's kind of bored up with, start counting up his benefits. Well, he blessed me to say, well, I don't have no benefits. You'll see the aren't you? And you're going to say, well, I can't. But look what you can do. You arrived here. Say, I have a headache. Well, yeah. You've not gotten so bad that you, you know, you got up, you can get yourself dressed, you can come here. And we'll be in pain, you know, but he'll get you through the battle. He'll get you through the storm, you see. And when we walk with God, let me read a verse of my mind here in the book of Isaiah. He's praying, I'm going to leave in a short order here. In the book of Isaiah, and I guess I'm going back there again. In the 43rd Psalm, I mean 41st, Isaiah chapter 43. See, when you walk with God, all of this is what he is your life. When you walk with God, verse chapter, Enoch walked with God. This was Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. But now, thus said the Lord that created thee. You need to know that this is the God that is knows everything. He's not just talking about, you know, the local. This is the God of heaven and earth that created thee. O Jacob, and he that formed thee. O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Oh, I want you to ever know that. I have redeemed thee. And he's not going to ever let you become, you know, unredeemed. Listen, I have called thee by my name, thou art mine. He claims you. Mm-hmm. He allows you to walk with him. Because he has redeemed you. You can't walk with him until he claims you. You say, well, I sought the Lord. Yeah, but you sought him because he had claimed you. He had redeemed you. He had paid for you. He had separated all your sins from you. As far as the east is from the west, now we can walk with God. You can't walk with him living in any kind of way. Look here. Oh, Lord, help me. The second verse, he says, when thou passest through, not in, but through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame cleanse thee. You see, when you walk through the fire, and you're going to get through each one of these. You're going to get through the rivers of water. You're going to get through you're going to get through the water. You mean you're going to be in the water. It didn't say if you. Listen, my beloved. It didn't say if God passes through the water. It said when. That means you surely will. A child of God will have difficulties. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Bobby, he didn't say if you do it. Surely you will do it. The time will come. You will have difficulties. But you're going to walk through. I want you to know, it didn't just say you're going to be in the water, but you're going to come through it. You're going to be on the other side. Because as you walk through the river, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. And the Hebrew boys, they would tell you amen. Say amen. I say amen if you think so. When you walk through, can you imagine that? Can you imagine if the building was on fire? You know, and you had to get out or come through the fire. Can you imagine? Walk with God, my beloved. You don't have to run. You just walk. He's going to be there every step of the way. He's my deliverance. He's my buckler. He's my shield. He's my righteousness. He's my redeemer. He's my all in all. So we'll walk patiently. He's
slowly with the Lord.
And know that it's God. And we don't have to run because you can't hurry him anyway. So you just walk through the fire. You're going to come out on the other end. I don't mean to shout at you, scream at you. I don't mean any harm. I love you. But you'll get through every trial. If you walk with God, you'll get through it. If God be with you, it doesn't matter about the fire. You're going to get through it because he's going to carry you through it. When you can go, he's going to encourage you. And if you get where you can't go, you heard the little quote about the footprints in the sand. And he said, well, my Lord, what the... You know the story. These two footprints of the Lord walking with one. And then he got to the point, and he said, well, he's only one set of footprints. That was when I had the most trouble, Lord. What were you? And the reply was, my Lord, my child, I'm carrying you. So when you get so weak that you can't soar as the eagle's wings anymore and you can't run anymore, you see, he'll carry you. You get through it. Walk with God. I'm going to read a couple of verses here. Come on by here. Enoch, he walked with God. And you say, well, it was easy. No, it wasn't easy. When Enoch, amen, it was wickedness. In the same Bible here, I'm back in Genesis, you don't have to go there. But in the 6th chapter, look here. God saw the imagination. God saw the wickedness of man, saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented God that he had made man. You see? So, and in chapter 8, I'm in Genesis, and verse 9, he said, and the Lord smelled a sweet smell of savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Mm-hmm. I told somebody who was born in corruption. You know? It's always that way. So this was a difficult time, and God confounded the languages, you see? It was wicked. God said the imagination of man's heart is only evil continually. That means he was just wicked day after day. That's when Noah lived. It was during that time that Noah lived. But see, Noah, he pleased God. Let me read in the book of Hebrews. I want to read a couple more passages and I'll let you go. You've been so kind. But in the book of Hebrews, I think in the 11th chapter. You see, you can't walk with God, live in any kind of way. See, God, you just can't, God don't tolerate garbage, you know, you can't, you know, if you walk with somebody, you're in communion with them. Normally, now, if you're running with somebody, you might, that's kind of like every person for themselves. But you can't talk too good, you're giving out of breath, but you can walk and you talk with somebody. My wife and I, we're blessed to take a walk together frequently. You see? She'll outlive me, she'll slow down for me then when you walk with me. But when you walk with somebody, you don't just walk. It didn't say walk in the same heart. Walk with them. That implies communion. Mm-hmm. Sweet fellowship. You're with them. And you're communicating. And you talk a bit, you see. And remind me, you see, when we're living, when you're walking with God, it's not like he's the boss and he is in charge. But he says that in the gospel, the apostle said, we are laborers with God. He's right along with you. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Take your yoke upon you and learn of me. You're right beside Jesus. You're learning to walk right where He walked. You're learning. You're growing. Don't we want to grow and learn? Amen?
Amen.
Learn with me. Learn of Jesus. He is lowly and meek of heart. And my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Walk with me in the yoke. You know the old yoke that the oxen would have? It's got to be two of them side by side. You're in one side, and Jesus is in the other side. You see? He'll learn how to be humble. He'll strengthen you. Walk with him. You see? I want to read this verse in that was chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. You see, you've got to have faith. Enoch had faith. It was a difficult time, but the Lord blessed him and gave him faith. Now, I don't want to say it so you don't understand it. I want you to understand what I say. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. That's what translated means. Did not see death. And was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You got to agree with God to walk with it, and you got to please God. You can't walk with God not pleasing God. You got to please God. If you walk with him, you got to please him. Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. You see? He pleased God. What God wanted, that's what he wanted. He believed God. He agreed with God. He trusted God. You see? And he pleased God. He didn't say my way, he said God's way. Lord, what will you have me to do? And when God made it plain to him, now Enoch didn't have like you and I, or we are very blessed. We got God's will right here. Husband, love your wife. Even as Christ loved the church unto death. That's God's will. Very simple. I mean, that's part of it. Some of it is hard, but some of it is very clear. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right and well-pleasing in the Lord, that he may prolong thy days upon the earth, upon the land which thy God gave thee. That's very simple. If you're not honoring your parents, you're not pleasing God. See? It's what we ought to do. We're to worship him in spirit and in truth. That pleases him. You see? And Enoch pleased God. He had faith. He said, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
You see? When you come to God, you ought to come. If you haven't come, if there's any here that hadn't, you believe and walk with God right there at the time, and you hadn't been baptized. You see, when you walk with God, you walk with Jesus now. God, we can't see him. He's a spirit, you understand? But he condescended and sent his Son, who is God also. But we can see Jesus. We can see his footprints. And when you walk with God, if you have this, don't raise your hand. You can if you want to, but if you haven't been baptized, and you believe this, and you love to hear the things of the Lord. Say, well, I'm too young. No, you're not. Parents, I hope you'll say amen.
Amen.
When you walk with Jesus, you saw John was down there baptizing one day, and he sees Jesus come walking to him. Are we walking with him? And he comes walking to Jesus. Jesus comes walking, and John says, behold, the Lamb of God, we're taking away the sins of the world. And he comes to John to be baptized. He walked down there to John. Are you walking with him? If you walk with him, you're going to go by to be baptized. That's where his footprint leads. Leads by the baptismal group. And John said, I have need to be baptized today. Come and die to me and be baptized. I'm not one of them. John was right. But Jesus said, do it anyway. And when Jesus said, do it anyway, that settles it. You're doing it because of Jesus. He said, well, I'm not worthy. Right? You're not worthy. But Jesus said, do it anyway. Your worthiness is in him, see? And we don't have to understand all that. You do understand Jesus said, be baptized, right? He said, follow me. If you follow him, he's going by school of baptism. If you follow him, he's going to take communion in the church. He said, you call me Lord and Master, you say, well, for so I am. If I, being your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another. Everybody in here ought to be having, when you have communion, be washing one another's feet. But you got to be in the church. You got to be done what Jesus. He was baptized first, you see. Walk with the Lord. Walk with him. You've been so kind. When Enoch walked with God, it was a difficult time. It was difficult. There was much disbelief, and ungodliness was very prevalent. And the people were, oh, they were just ungodly. Their testimony was bad. They didn't believe God. But Enoch walked with God in spite of it. And God walked with him. And when you walk with somebody, you talk to them. Enoch talked. You see, and when you come to church and you hear preaching, it should be the man of God that's talking with you. But he's not the man of God, it's God talking. When you read the Bible, he talks to you. When you hear true preaching, you're hearing with God. And we talk with God. When we pray, we're talking. He gives us a right to talk to him. You know? I talked to my dear wife this morning. And we was on the telephone. I got Brother Chuck's phone and we called. But you see, it used to be there was a long distance or whatever, but you got to dial all these numbers, you know. And talk to God. You can call them up anytime. You don't have to go through no whole bunch of operators and no numbers. And the line is never busy. When you walk with Him, the line is always open. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They were three numbers. 111. All three of them, God. Call Him in the morning. Call Him in the trouble time. And He'll walk with you through the fire. May the Lord bless you. I appreciate you for your kind attention. May He have a blessing for you.